The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My dad was a master gardener, just like some of you, and in the early spring, every single year, he would get really upset. He would drive up and down the roads and see his beloved crepe myrtle trees carelessly pruned, butchered, he'd say. These beautiful trees would be cut back so far that they looked like broomsticks. These trees that he loved had become nothing more than ugly stumps. How could life return after all of that pruning? Sometimes it may feel like we have been pruned, cut back to a stump. We may have been pruned by death or a job loss, circumstances we can't control. We may have had our keys taken away, losing our independence. We may be pruned when our child leaves for college, a job, joins the military, or just moves out. We may have moved from one house to another, from one city to another, and nothing, absolutely nothing, feels right anymore. If it's been a severe pruning, we may even feel like we've been mown down, scalped. I can think back in my life and remember several times that I've been pruned. The death of my parents, our children, all three of them leaving for college, the time when I changed careers. Those are the big prunings. The little prunings, although more subtle, have been just as hard. A difference of opinion that cost a friendship. An injury which prevented me from doing something that I love. I suspect if you look at your life, you'll see that some pruning has taken place too. You'll likely remember that it was and is hard. Pruning can feel like we've been set adrift in a new space. It can be lonely, very, very unsettling, scary. We may have no clue how there can be life ahead for us. The text we just read from the book of John is part of the farewell discourse, the part where Jesus tells the disciples that they're going to be pruned. Jesus prepares his disciples for the time when he is no longer physically with them. He tells them that they will be cut down. They've already lost Judas. Peter will soon betray Jesus too. Then Jesus will be arrested, crucified on a cross, and killed. Talk about a pruning. The disciples will feel like they have been abandoned. Their path forward is not clear, and they experience confusion. fear, anger, and sadness. You name it, they're feeling it. You have to prune bushes and trees. The dead and overgrown branches must be cut back every year to encourage new growth and to produce fruit. Otherwise, the branches become a tangled mess. Diseases often set in, and there definitely won't be any fruit. Jesus tells the disciples, and us too, that pruning will happen in our lives. Pruning happens. It just does. When our dead wood is cut away, when our stray branches are trimmed back, the question we need to ask is not why, but what now? The what now we are promised is God will take us and turn us somehow, some way into something amazing. God will help us to bear abundant fruit. The disciples were cut down to the quick, but God released the Holy Spirit into their midst, and the church grew from 11 lost and scared men hiding in a room to the church that it is today. That's bearing fruit. The key to this text for us is in that old-fashioned word that was used 8 times in the passage today. Jesus tells the disciples, "Abide in me, dwell in me, live in me." But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says, "Abide in me as I already am in you." The promise is that Jesus already lives in us. The promise is that after what seems like a mowing down, there will be life again, new and abundant life. Jesus promises us that he will not abandon us, but will cling to us, stay connected with us, turn us again into fruit-bearing plants. There's a tendency, though, when we get cut back or mown down, to separate ourselves from the vine. It's so easy when we get mown down to curl up and turn in on ourselves and try to go for it on our own. We struggle to hang on to the vine. Hang on to Jesus, hang on to each other. But it's like we're cut flowers who look beautiful for a day or two, but then we die. When we separate ourselves from Jesus, we separate ourselves from our lifeblood, our vine, and there is no life. Jesus tells us, hang on. Depend on God, trust God, stay close to the vine. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. The fruit that we ultimately bear may be beyond our wildest imaginations, but not God's. C.S. Lewis quips in his book, Mere Christianity, that if we imagine ourselves as a living house, we might think that God will come in to rebuild. You know, patch the roof, put in a new granite countertop in the kitchen. Instead, Lewis continues, God may be knocking about our house in ways that might hurt, in ways that might not make sense now. Lewis says God may be putting in a new wing, adding an extra floor, putting in a tower and creating courtyards. We may have envisioned a decent little cottage. Instead, God is building a palace and intends to live in it. God does this in our individual lives. Thanks be to God for that. God also does it in the life of a church. Stories abound about churches who have struggled or even shut down. But God isn't ever done. God abides with them. God dwells in that congregation. In God's miraculous ways, God will rebuild. Sometimes a church begins to bear good fruit by birthing a new ministry in the community, a homeless shelter, a day school, a bilingual worship service. I love the story in Living Lutheran magazine about the Scandinavian congregation in Minnesota, which formed in the 1800s. They struggled and struggled and struggled, and they finally closed in 2015. This congregation, though, when they closed, loaded up all of the church furnishings into a semi-trailer and hauled them across the state line to a mission congregation in Wisconsin. God's work continued in a new place and in a new time. Today, yet again, we are blessed to see God working in this congregation. Today, we are blessed to baptize Braxton Matthews Billy. In his baptism, we will call upon the Holy Spirit to adopt Braxton into the family of God, or as Jesus says, to graft him onto the vine of life. God promises Braxton, his parents, his sponsors, and all of us that God will abide, God will live in Braxton's life and in ours, assuring Braxton and us that our lives will be abundant and will bear good fruit. Thanks be to God.